Where's the
looks?
Sanitize for your protection.
This show needs to be sanitized
for people's protection.
Whoa, sanitized.
Because you never know what's going to be said on Living the Scream! The behind the scenes of
The Mummy and the Monkey Show.
Yay, welcome back. This is episode 10, baby. Episode 10. We're 10 deep into Whoa. Living the Scream. I can't believe it.
Whoa. Wow.
Who knew that we would get this this far? Well, I'm, well, here, introduce yourself.
I'm Janet J, also known as Janet Decay, the Mummy.
Yes, and I'm James Harmon, a.k.a. Grim Gory, the Monkey.
That's right, wow.
And we have had such a wild weekend, and I'm so happy that I'm getting my voice back.
Yeah, we had so much fun over the week. We went to Monster Bash weekend in Mars, Pennsylvania last week. Over the, was it June, what?
23rd through the 25th, That's and we right. invaded Mars.
Yeah, it was a blast. I mean, we drove from Cleveland, it was a short 2-hour drive. And I want to apologize that tonight we're going to have our good friend Dino Ewelt, who puts us up on his podcast station, or his podcast channel, I guess you want to call it, that Horror Town.
Horror Town.
Yeah, Horror Town.
Horror. Horror Town.
How you get, yeah, people just make all those, the horror joke. What did you say?
With an H.
Horror Town. Horror Town.
Horror Town.
Anyway, yeah, so we're going to get him on our next show. So he'll be on episode 11 next Sunday. He's going to call in. And, I should have uploaded those pictures, but maybe I can do that during the break.
And normally we record Sundays, so it's Tuesday night here. We needed an extra day just to rest up and for me to get my voice back. I was so beat when we got home.
Man, gosh, we both were. We got home. Well, we got there. I took Friday off, and you had Friday off. We drove up there Friday around, 11 o'clock?
We left here around 11, got there around about 1. But I'm so used to Cinema Wasteland where their setup is like 4 and 5 o'clock.
Right. The show starts at 3. Okay. They open the doors to the public for the vendors room. So we had 2 hours. Set up.
So we had 2 hours to set up the table.
Or I had 2 hours to set up.
Get everything unpacked and then get made up and get in costume.
You checked into the room. We stayed at a real nice hotel.
At the Comfort Inn. Yep. It's just a little. They say it's right across the parking lot. It kind of is, but it's a lot of parking lot.
It's a hop, skip, and a jump. It's not that bad
of
a walk.
But it's not bad of a walk in the summertime.
Very nice rooms. Had everything. All the amenities as far as a convention or a want. A nice size refrigerator and a microwave.
And a microwave.
So next year's a whole different story, man. We're going to bring a...
Party hardy. Be prepared.
All kind of good eats and everything. But anyway.
So we ended up getting it done. You know, you got the table set up nicely, and I appreciate the help. I got made up in less than 2 hours.
Right.
I think I had a couple minutes to spare.
Okay, hold that thought. We're a little bit behind on some show etiquette now. We didn't do the show shot.
Oh, we didn't.
But that's okay, because we don't have, we drank it all this weekend.
We ran out of our alcohol.
So nothing to shoot except for the Pepsi I had.
We're so not prepared.
I got Pepsi and water over here, and you got a little bit of water in your cup.
I got ice water, so nothing super crazy.
So we could pretend to do a show shot, but...
We could do a show high five.
Yeah, let's go. Okay, ready? Show high five. Woo-hoo.
Woo!
All right.
And I missed.
About half. Yeah, half of And we're right next to, we're like, not even 6 inches from each other. Jeez. But that's okay.
Not very coordinated.
But you have no problem bumping into me every day.
I know,
Coming
right?
around those corners, but can't hit my
he
hand.
He calls me Crash because that's right. we always bump into each other.
That's my nickname for Janet.
Crash.
Crash. What's up, Crash? That's usually after we've crashed into each other. But anyway,
it was
so
show shot. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
And then what else? We ate. We were going to... We did order Chinese food,
but they delivered it so fast.
Ooh,
and you're burping up Chinese food already. Mm-hmm. We decided to just, eat our food and then do the show.
Yeah, and so we ordered our Chinese food, and you had?
I had the, it's under their healthy diet, special diet menu.
Healthy Chinese?
Yes, healthy Chinese food. The steamed veggies with rice.
Mm-hmm. And spring rolls.
And 2 spring rolls.
That's right.
I love spring rolls.
And those are deep fried, but they're delicious.
They are so yummy.
They're so good. And I had my new love. Oh, I love it.
Ooh, a grim little bit of a grim
it.
There.
I live for it. The broccoli beef and white rice. Oh, my God. So good.
Yeah, you ate the whole thing.
And 2 spring rolls. Oof, I sure did. And you'll be hearing it
Oh, no.
Throughout the night, more than likely, here on Living the Scream. Anyway, okay, so we'll go back to their
So I was going to mention, so it was the Monster Bash 20th anniversary part, convention, and it was our first time being there.
Yes, we've never been in any capacity.
For a couple of years now, other people, fans and friends are like, oh, you got to go to Monster Bash. You got to go.
Even the guys, that we see at the conventions that run the Monster Bash booth.
They run the Monster Bash tables.
They have the tables. They keep saying, you guys got to go. You would fit in perfectly.
So we went and we fit in perfectly.
Boy, they were right.
We'll go over the good, the bad, and the ugly of the whole weekend.
That's right.
More good than anything else. So, it's going to be positive.
And the ironic thing is that the ugly isn't really ugly. It's just more about people's attitudes towards something that, that they need to loosen up a little bit. Mm-hmm. We'll get to that.
We'll get to that a little later.
Let's go in that order: the good, the bad, and then the ugly.
Okay, so let's start with the good of the convention. Maybe we could start with all the people we ran into and talked with. A lot of great artists there. Malcolm Gittins, a good Facebook friend.
Yeah.
And he actually won a Rondo Award for best fan artist.
Yeah.
He makes some really cool monster artwork, and it has this retro look to it.
Yeah, like something out of the 60s. Looks like you have to see it. Look him up on Facebook. It's Malcolm Gittins.
Malcolm Gittins.
Gittins. G-I-T-T-I-N-S.
Yes.
Gittins.
I believe so.
Getting it done. Yeah, Malcolm Gittins. Yeah, and I bought a t-shirt, a Zachary portrait he did.
Yeah, we did a t-shirt trade.
We did a swap, yeah.
So we gave him a Mummy and Monkey t-shirt, and then you got a cool Zachary t-shirt.
Awesome, yeah.
And then another artist that we met there, his name is James Gunter, right?
Guttner. Yeah.
Okay.
He was right across the table from us, from our table, across the aisle.
He was a convention neighbor.
he was a neighbor across the way. He and his wife were lovely people. He's a very talented fine artist, older gentleman, but has quite a following and does a lot of Pittsburgh street scenes and paints like fine art like that.
The steel workers, the buildings, everyday cityscape.
Yeah, everyday stuff with a little bit of an edge. Like he did there was almost like a 42nd Street. Yeah, I remember that area down on in downtown Pittsburgh.
Well, you went to school in Pittsburgh a long time ago.
Yeah, in the late 80s I went to the Art Institute of Pittsburgh. I'm not going to say how long ago, but it was towards the end.
Well, you said late 80s. Yeah. So everyone's probably thinking
I am old. and they'd be thinking correctly.
You're not old, just a little old.
I did their two-year stint there, got my little 2-year degree. Who's on my back?
Oh, Louie.
I got a Louie on my back. Our black cat Louie is wanting my attention. I got my associates there, and and then I moved on and worked all the place. I actually lived downtown. Let me say it right.
Oh, yeah, the Pittsburgh accent.
I live downtown.
We heard a lot of yins. Where yins from?
Where yins from? Downtown. You know a guy named Dawn. Dawn. It's Dawn right now. No, but I miss that Pittsburgher.
Yins.
Yins guys. Yins guys gone downtown.
Oh, gosh.
It's like, yeah, well, I think.
And it's like some of the people spoke it more prominently, and others, it was just like a little subtle. Every now and then you would hear a yins.
Yeah, and they do the question thing. Like everything goes up in a question, even though it's not a question.
You're talking, and then it ends like in a question.
Yeah, that's a whole nother.
Yeah,
but let's look to where we go. Okay, we met James Guttner, good first name as well, by the way.
Great artist.
He went from painting. I forget how he told us his story, and we interviewed him too.
There's an interview, and it's going to be on our next Mummy and the Monkey episode.
We filmed season two, episode six, the last episode of the season. At Monster Bash weekend, and
finally
we got some interviews and some little cameos from people, which are pretty going to be a lot of fun. But let's finish James's story. So
yes,
we befriended him, we talked to him.
He started painting clowns, and that's what got him into painting
like
monsters.
Horror clowns, like these
creepy clowns,
creepy circus clowns. And we got some of that you'll see on episode six. And but he also painted like classic monsters and monsters from Godzilla, Frankenstein, the Wolfman, a lot of Hammer stuff like the Christopher Lee, Dracula, and the Mummy.
And you ended up buying one of his.
I purchased a piece of his artwork. It's a pretty nice size, probably 36 by 24. It's a pretty big piece. But it's the main creature from I Was a Teenage Frankenstein movie.
Ooh.
And kind of off center in the middle, towards the bottom, there's the Michael Landon I Was a Teenage Werewolf in the background.
It's pretty cool.
We'll post a picture of it. It was pretty neat. I got it for a steal, basically. I mean, this guy's stuff sells for a pretty penny usually, but his horror stuff, I mean, he was pricing it to go. And I missed out on a few. I wanted the Godzilla, but I didn't get the Godzilla.
His stuff was selling fast.
Yeah, the Wolfman I wanted, the Lon Chaney Wolfman.
These are large paintings where some people would charge $400 or $500.
Oh, $1,000, at least.
He sold some for $1,000, $2,000, but at the convention he was letting them go.
His paintings go for a lot.
Maybe
more
around two to three, that kind of range. So it was more affordable, and it was original. You know, it was handmade art.
Right, but we had a great time with him. Talked to him. Hopefully, we'll get together with he and his wife for a little bit of a lunch date or something like that.
Yeah, next time we go to Pittsburgh, we got to meet them up for lunch.
I'm looking forward to seeing them in about a month.
We also got to hang out with other horror hosts. Award-winning from the East Coast, Penny Dreadful.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, what a lovely woman.
Beautiful woman.
Beautiful. Super inside talented. And out.
Yeah, yeah. And she wanted to meet us, which was really interesting. You know?
That was cool. I was like, just flattered and just taken aback by that.
Yeah, the small talk before the banter between us before we actually filmed an interview with her was very flattering and very, very nice. I mean, we were gushing about how much we liked her and how sad it was, that her husband, who played Guru, her werewolf sidekick, passed away several years ago. But
and they were such a good pair. Their videos are so amazing.
They kind of remind you of a certain mummy and monkey.
Great characters. Yeah.
Yeah, she was a witch. He was a werewolf called Garou.
Garou.
Yeah.
Garou.
That's French for Canadian werewolf. French for werewolf, yeah. So anyway, a Lugaru. That's actually Lugaru.
Lugaru.
Lugaru, but
like
Garou.
From our one episode, yeah, Moon of the Wolf.
Lugaru.
Lugaru.
What the heck's a Lugaru?
A Lugaru.
It's Lugaru. So anyway,
and then we also ran into surprise guests.
Okay, let me, but Penny, but it was interesting because Penny Dreadful asked us or commented how original she thought our characters were. You know, she goes, even how did you even think to come up with a mummy? You know, do a mummy and monkey. And you know, we went through the whole. You know, we kind of said, well, there were characters we had previously. She had Janet Decay before she even did horror hosting. It was a specific cosplay she came up with for. If you want to call it that, for the zombie walks.
Started with going to zombie walks. I wanted to charity be zombie something walk. Different.
Yeah, a different dead creature.
Right.
So, you picked
before I did the horror hosting thing, and even way before then, I just always liked Egyptian stuff and mummies.
And my Grim Gory character, as some of you might know, or if you don't know, then whatever. You're going to know now. It was just, I always wanted to be a horror host since I was a kid, growing up in Cleveland, and I just had this weird name pop into my head, and I found this mask. Monkey mask. It wasn't the one I use now, but it clicked, and I thought this was the character. And
right, and we talked about this.
The Midnights, but not everyone listens to every episode, so you just have to give a little background.
Well, let's say, in more detail, our Origins podcast, you can hear more.
Right, exactly, if you want to go back.
So we can continue with
but it's like a soap opera. We watch a soap opera. They do a lot of repetition because I guess they figure maybe some people don't watch it every day. So anyway.
Anyways.
We've got a lot of time to fill anyway. That's another
We also have a lot to discuss, which is going to fill a lot of time.
So going back, so we talked to Penny Dreadful.
Yes.
And then we moved on to?
We moved on to the Bone Jangler.
The Bone Jangler. Oh my God.
That guy is a trip.
We had a blast.
We had so much fun.
We chat on the internet, every now and then pretty often. And we've met him at Cincinnati Horror Hound.
Yeah, we met him at Horror Hound Weekend in Cincinnati several times.
Yep.
Have been talking to him online since maybe 2013.
Yeah.
When I started hosting Daughter of the Ghoul show and when there was some drama going on.
Yep, between some unnamed horror hosts.
And yeah.
That we'll just keep between
ourselves. He was very nice and very helpful and kind of like the horror host big brother something. So, yeah, thank you, Bone Jangler. And we got to hang out until like 2 a.m. drinking and
chatting away. We hung out. We did a radio show. We did a call-in radio show with Halloween Jack?
Halloween Jack has an online radio show called the Eerie Late Night Horror Channel.
Yeah.
And then they also play video of, different horror-hosted shows. And they've played our episodes on there, too.
What's up, Halloween Jack, if you're listening?
So shout out to Halloween
Jack. Yeah, shout out to him and his great show.
And we're sitting on the bed recording
this. Yes, we didn't even tell people
if you hear any springs or moving around, we're recording live from our bedroom.
We're on our little, guest bed watching, what are we watching in the background? We got YouTube on and we're watching these because we do, obviously, with the Thrift Crypt, we do reselling. We junk. We go to tag sales, as they call them in Texas, I guess, according to this show.
Yard sales, garage sales, tag sales, estate sales, and...
Yeah, but so there's a lot of people on YouTube that we're digressing like an MF, and we're not even drinking. yeah, so we watch these things on our
YouTube. So I watch a lot of reseller videos.
Yeah, it's fun. It's really interesting, and it's actually giving us some ideas. That's all I'll say right now.
And it's cool to see how other people do it.
Yeah, other people. And we're thinking how we can incorporate some of this into... the Mummy and the Monkey Show, and more details on that to come, you know, with the...
Mummy's the word.
Yes, mummy's word. But anyway, so hung out with the Bone Jangler, man. Wow. Never forget that experience. It was one of the... Saturday was a very epic day. By Sunday, I felt like I've been there a week. I just felt like we did so much.
Because sometimes we go to a convention, and the weekend just whizzes right by. Yeah. But this weekend... Like,
man,
time stood still for a little bit.
It did. And
so, and we got to do these cool things, and it just felt like we were like living in the moment, just having a lot of fun.
Yeah, we were very euphoric Friday night. We were
we,
like,
we got to meet the creature from the Black Lagoon, the last surviving original Universal monster.
Rico Browning.
Mm-hmm.
He did a little thing for us.
Very nice gentleman. Did a little video spot for us.
You'll see that on this episode.
I want to... Some people were interviewing him, and he was very busy throughout the weekend.
Yeah.
Rightfully so.
As you could imagine.
But we bought his autograph. He signed a very nice photo for us, and he did a little video spot. And
yep.
Him and his daughter, very nice people.
Yep. That was great seeing them. And who else do we want to talk to before we get the most important people? And that would be the fans.
The fans, of course.
But who else do we want to talk about? We met there. Ran into Ron Garstick
and
Little John Rinaldi from the Big Chuck and Little John show. They were walking the show, and Ron Garstick is the promoter for the Gullardi Fest, which we're going to be at.
Which is in Cleveland very last weekend in October.
Check it out on...
The GullardiFest.com, or just Google Gullardi Fest.
And you'll find it, yep.
And we're going to be there, too.
Yep.
And then Big Chuck and Little John, if you haven't heard us rant about them already, awesome guys. We grew up watching them. And Little John from the show was there kind of making the rounds and getting ideas for Gullardi Fest with Ron Garstick.
Yeah, I think that they were, that they're trying to, you know, keep the show fresh and maybe find some new vendors. Mm-hmm. Because there was stuff there. Now, that's another thing about the vendors there.
They had some neat vendors.
Oh, my gosh. I was jealous I couldn't shop more. You know, I couldn't run around and spend a couple more bucks.
Yeah, I bought a few things, but I didn't want to overdo it. You know,
I did.
Yeah.
So bad. Well, speaking about
awesome painting.
That was enough. But yeah, I definitely blew my wad on that. That was a good thing. And it's hanging up in our living room now. It looks awesome.
And we're actually going to order a new couch to match all our fun new artwork we're hanging up.
And another person we ran into was our good friend Michael Shevsky.
Yes.
Friend and author, Michael Cleveland author.
Yes, he used to be a DJ for WMMS. Wrote several Cleveland TV memories books, wrote a Gullardi book. Very nice gentleman, him and his wife,
Jan.
Another Jan.
She's Janice, you're Janet.
That's right. I almost said Janet.
And she said people call her Janet, and because we know people call you Janice.
Right.
So I said, you guys just swap names. It would be easier. So, yeah, but we ran into them, and man, you know, they were just shopping. They were just kind of browsing the show, having fun.
We have a mention in one of their books, Cleveland TV Memories, Volume 2.
Volume 2, yeah.
We have a little shout out.
The Mummy and the Monkey are in print in several different books. Ooh. And the author.
Yes, and Bob Cotter.
Yes.
He's a nice gentleman that wrote the book Vampira and His Daughters.
Yes.
Vampira and Her Daughters.
Yeah, and his wife.
Whoa.
Vampira.
Okay. Jeez.
Go ahead.
But anyway, I have a little shout out in that book, and so does the Mummy and the Monkey show. A couple of years back, he interviewed me, and I sent him my answers to the questions. And he told me he was writing a book, and time went by, and I completely, like, kind of forgot. And then people were telling me his book was out, and I'm like, and then I was in it, and I'm like, wait a minute.
What you talk about, Willie?
Right, and it took me a little bit of time to figure out, I sent him those.
Oh, okay, yeah, so
he interviewed me.
We interviewed him.
So and, we got video with him, too.
Yep, and, we did a bunch of other stuff.
And Lobo.
Yeah,
Mr. Lobo,
yes.
Another horror host. He came all the way up from California.
Right, and he could be seen in a lot of these documentaries that are out
about horror hosts. He's in American Scary.
Yeah, about horror hosts. Yes. He's in American Scary. And yeah, so he was gracious enough to grant us an interview, but and yeah, and man, we just had a great time. And okay, so anyone else I'm missing as far as
trying to think. Oh,
about fans,
we made a lot of new fans because there were people that were like, "Well, I don't even know. I didn't know what you were, but I saw you online." And now I really like you guys. And we had a lot of just different people that told us about their horror host memories growing up, watching Chili Billy out in Pennsylvania when they were kids. So it's pretty cool. Every region had their own horror movie host. And out in PA, they had Chili Billy, who passed away maybe like a year or two ago. And James wandered off. I don't know where he went.
I'm coming back.
Okay. But I was talking about how people were telling us about their Chili Billy memories.
Right, yeah. Well, you know how I usually burp through the show? I had to do something else that came out the other end.
Oh, jeez.
Just kidding.
Oh, back on the bed. Woo!
Yeah, Chili Billy. Yeah, we got a lot of that stuff. So we'll talk about the fan. We'll wrap it up. And with talking about another fellow we met,
and
a filmmaker.
We met some filmmakers there, too, and directors. This one's cool. If you want to talk about it.
Yeah, sure. We met a fellow named Terrence Muncy, and he made a movie called Bikini Monsters.
Ooh.
And we got to talking to him, and it seems like the Mummy and the Monkey are going to have a summer special where we screen
Bikini Monsters.
The Bikini Monsters, yes. We did an intro with him, and we're going to film a couple of summertime-based skits.
Mm-hmm.
Janet came up with some fun stuff we're going to shoot soon. And we're going to hope to get it out. Now, this will be only available
on DVD.
On DVD. We won't be able to upload it. Because
we will have a little preview, probably like a preview on
YouTube. Yeah,
we YouTube,
could probably do that.
A little teaser.
Yeah, but if you want it, you got to come get it or order it off online from either us or Terrence when it comes out. That's the deal. So, yeah, so we're going to have an official Mummy the Monkey summer special.
Summer special.
The first one anyway.
Yay!
Yeah, so look for that pretty soon. We'll keep you posted on that. And yeah, we still got some time. We should talk a little bit more.
Definitely.
Yeah, let's do it. Now we're still talking about the good. Okay,
yes,
all the good that
so
happened.
So much good.
Let's just talk about the fans. All right, the fans that came that admitted to listen to watch our show and that listened to our podcast.
Yeah. We actually had some fans saying that they listened to the podcast.
Living the Scream.
Living the Scream. Behind the scenes of the Mummy and the Monkey show. And it was great to hear that because I didn't know who exactly was listening, if anyone even cared.
But yeah, apparently they do, and that's very, very cool. And again, look, we are so, you know, we just have a good time. We're not there to you know, hey, look at us pose and everything. We love taking pictures of people, but I love watching people kind of be a little apprehensive when they look at us like, oh, that's them. It's like, really? You know, it's just, we're just us, you know? Come on up to the table. Don't be afraid.
And I know that we are having fun is the main part of it.
Absolutely.
But it is also, and especially with my store and with vending at the conventions, it has become a business.
Sure.
So we have to think of the business aspect too. But most of all, it has to be something we're passionate about and we're having fun.
And having fun. That's it. I want to use this for, this show is a creative outlet for me. I know for you as well, because we do arts and crafts nights where we, you know, fix up our costumes and come up with brainstorm ideas for skits and come up with just new ways, new things to do for the show. You know,
sometimes our best ideas, though, are in the car. We were out, and we'll talk about this later, too.
Ooh, yeah, some new acquisitions.
Yeah,
we found
a new really cool item.
We got a cool friend online, and he gave us a pretty cool thing
for the show. We drove out to go pick it up.
Yeah, and we did that today.
In the car, we were able to think of some skit ideas.
Right, but the fan. I'll go back to the fans.
Yes,
so
back to the fans.
There was a couple there that was pretty interesting as far as, you know, telling us that they listen. And I thought the funny thing is that before they talked to us, there was an older fella talking to us about, well, Grandpa Dean goes, and what channel are you on? And what can I think? So he asked, and I thought, so when he left, the young couple came up and they go, oh my God, we listen to your show. We love it. And you guys do a good job. And they go, and we got to hear someone ask you what channel you're on. Just like you said. I'm like, yeah, see, we're not kidding. You see, we're not crazy. This really happens.
And we got video of it too. We recorded this guy.
A different guy. I wish I recorded what channel you're on. Yeah. I have some plans for that video.
Well, there was a nice Very West Virginian fellow.
Boy, was it. But he just...
very old-fashioned.
But he's one of those guys, if you say hello, then you get 10 minutes of just monologue. I mean, he just kept talking. He entertained himself.
He loved to talk at us.
He told us all about Chili Billy and this and that. But he was just going to town, just talking about whatever. I mean,
and there were some older fans that talked about Chili Billy, and when they were a kid and they would watch the show.
Yeah, pop popcorn, watch Chili Billy's and show a monster movie. And we have the, and that's what's, I think that's why that area is great, where Mars or any, or Pittsburgh, they had, Pennsylvania had a horror host that they loved. Like, we love Big Chuck and Little John.
Right, right. Chili Billy was like Chili their Billy Big was, Chuck or Little John.
Absolutely.
Or their Goulardi or something, because he was on TV for a really long time.
Pretty long time, yeah.
And he just passed away maybe a year or two ago.
Several years ago. Yeah, about two years ago.
I guess he would attend Monster Bash, and it was a big deal. Like,
yeah.
He was a legend out there.
Yeah.
Kind of like when we went to Motor City Nightmares, and everyone would talk about Sir Graves Gasly.
Right, yeah. But they didn't... we didn't do that well. And not that we do these shows to... I mean, it would be nice to make the table and pay for the room. That'd be great. I'd be happy with that. Because it's like a weekend to do something fun that you really didn't pay much for.
But at the same time, we still have to treat it like a business.
Right. And as a business, not so well in Detroit. But they were the first ones to talk about or suggest that we should do a podcast.
Right.
Or asked if we had one.
Because everyone out there was like, do you have a podcast?
Yeah.
Do you have a podcast?
It was really
odd. What's a podcast? This was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and we didn't do anything until we met Dino, and he was like, you guys should do a podcast. And like, oh, okay.
So here we are.
Yeah.
Oh, that reminds me. Ken and Pam were vendors there,
Ken
too.
Ken and Pam Kish.
That runs Cinema Wasteland.
Yeah, lovely people. We love they seem to be everywhere. They're huge fans of the genre of horror and anything to do with, strange independent cinema. They mm-hmm. love that stuff. And Ken's business, he started Cinema Wasteland because he had a video store where he rented, actual store at first, where he sold videotapes and rented them. And then he did a mail order business, and it turned into Cinema Wasteland, the convention.
That's right. And then he still sells videos online, and
he still
vends at other conventions.
Yep.
But Monster Bash is definitely more family friendly.
Yep.
As opposed to like Cinema Wasteland, that's considered more of a
party
show.
Friendly.
Yeah, it's
party
more
friendly.
Party friendly.
Yeah.
Because at Monster Bash, if you want to have an alcoholic beverage, you have to stay in the bar area.
It's just fine.
Or have it kind of covered and not, advertise it.
Rules is rules.
Because they don't want you walking around with open drinks and acting.
You have to abide by them.
Acting
right.
All like party. Cuckoo crazy, the Wasteland.
And that's fine. And most of the conventions are like that.
Right. And I understand different hotels and locations have different regulations.
Yeah.
I guess in Pennsylvania, you can't buy alcohol unless if it's at...
Alcohol.
Unless if it's at a liquor store. You can't just buy it at a gas station, I've been told.
We brought our own stuff with us, so
we were prepared already in that sense.
But in a pinch, man, yeah, you'd be up the creek in the paddle.
But by the hotels where we were, just down a little ways, there was a liquor store.
It was more of a beer cave. It didn't have any liquor, but
You can at least buy your beer there.
Just remember, you can't liquor in Mars, PA. And on that. We will end this first segment of Living the Scream. I hear the music playing. You hear that? Listen.
Where?
Listen. Ah, you hear it now?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Now I do.
That means we have to take a break, but we'll do so. And you grab a snack or whatever. You only got a few minutes. Not even a minute. Well, I'll give you some minutes.
Hurry. Go pee. Come back.
And we'll be back with more
Living the Scream. Mwah.
Bring my baby back, I'm gonna make the spirits hear. I'm gonna bring my baby near. Supernatural force is gonna change my baby's course. Ooh-wee, my trickery, I'm gonna solve this mystery.
Once there was an old woman who lived all alone out in the countryside. There are no neighbors nearby, and she had neither dog nor cat. The nearest village was 6 miles away, and the people in the village never paid very much attention to the old lady. As a matter of fact, the only time anyone ever saw her was during the Halloween season, when they would drive out to her place to buy pumpkins, because she grew the biggest pumpkins of anyone in the area. One morning, the old woman went out in the garden to pick string beans, and there, lying in the row next to the beans, she found a skinny toe. She took the skinny toe into the house and placed it in a small box, which she then placed at the back of a closet. The rest of the day passed without event, but that night when she went to bed, the wind began to howl and moan, and away in the distance, she seemed to hear a voice cry out, "Who's got my skinny toe? Who's got my skinny toe?" The wind grew stronger and began to howl around the house, and the old woman pulled the blankets over her head, but the voice seemed to get nearer. "Who's got my skinny toe? Who's got my skinny toe?" The wind now became a gale, and then, as suddenly as it had begun, it stopped. For a moment, all was quiet. And then the voice came again. "Who's got my skinny toe?" The old woman curled up in her bed and hugged the blankets about her. And then she heard the stairs begin to creak as though something or someone was walking up them. The door to the bedroom slowly opened with a creak that sent shudders racing through her. Something seemed to slip through the door and began to creep over the floor. Suddenly, a voice right next to the bed cried out, "Who's got my skinny toe? Who's got my skinny toe?" You've got it!
Yeah, I'm good looking, Benny from Arkansas. And then they call me next because I was good looking. Yeah, good looking Benny.
Oh, good looking Benny. We met you and.
Too bad he's not here. Not too bad. He should be here. You know, hanging out with us on the bed.
Oh, gosh, no.
How you doing?
Night, very nice to talk to you, though.
Hi, this is good looking Benny, and you're back with Living the Screen, the behind the scenes of The Mummy and the Monkey Show. Yeah.
That's another thing. Everyone was asking, are you guys married?
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah, I say, hey, welcome back, everybody, from the break, and you're listening to
Living the Screen.
The behind the scenes, oh,
the Mummy and the Monkey Show.
With your hosts,
Janet J., also known as Janet Decay, the Mummy.
And Grim Gory. Okay. Way too much.
Sorry.
That's okay. You go into every little detail. Oh,
sorry.
This fleece is making my butt sweat here.
Oh, jeez.
You don't want that.
I don't want your monkey butt near me.
Well, we're sitting on our bed and we have Pony Throw on the bed.
Pony Throw!
Have we ever talked about
Pony Throw? Did we ever explain Pony Throw?
Okay, so last Christmas, we went over your mother's in Medina, who lives in Medina, Ohio. For Christmas, we went over her house in and around that time or day. And she gave us some gifts. And Janet received a lovely, what did you get?
A pajama set.
Yes, a little pink. You wore that yesterday.
No, they were black. They were black long johns.
What about those little pink ones?
Those pink jammies were from your mom.
Oh, okay.
My mom knows I like black now.
That's right.
It took her like 20 years.
But. And once you go black jammies, you never go back jammies. But she got me a throw cover, a fleece blanket. And it's printed in vivid color with a green grass tree background, but it's got a big pony running on it. I want to say life size. Could be a miniature pony. But it is known as Pony Throw around here. And it's the... We didn't actually... You know what? That's a good thing to talk about, because usually when we go to a convention, even though we love them all, we're beat and we're just,
you get tired.
Yes, and we just think about Chinese food and pony throw.
Yeah, where you want to go home, relax, have your Chinese food, and cuddle up with pony throw.
Get on the couch and put in some bad movies or whatever you watch on TV, and just have pony throw to save your day.
Yes, when you're having a bad day at work, come home and cuddle up to pony
but
throw.
But at this convention, we didn't mention pony throw coming home. We were too...
No, we were so...
Pumped up.
Psyched and, yeah, and jumping and, around and having fun and losing
Monster,
my voice.
Monster Bash was like a cathartic thing. Again, we love... I can't even tell you. I mean, we can do another, we can do 3 hours, 4 hours talking about the shows that we go to, and we love all of them. But this one didn't disappoint.
It had a great vibe about
it. Yeah, a different vibe. You know what I mean? It's just like trying to choose between your favorite, I don't know, brands of bacon. They're all good.
People were like, there's people there that are like diehard fans, and they wanted to go shopping. They wanted to get your DVD.
Yeah.
And at some conventions, people don't want to buy DVDs anymore.
Right.
But at this one, they were more old school.
And that's a good question.
And they collect them. They like to have their monster and horror themed DVDs.
Yeah, and that could be the bad segment. Let's talk about the bad. Not the ugly, but the bad.
Well, the bad, I would have to say...
Well, can I... Go ahead. And I was going to continue on what we're talking about.
Oh,
like,
sorry. Go
like,
ahead.
Like, is physical media a dead thing? In other words, when we're hawking our wares, I mean, we have all this stuff. We have all these DVDs. Are we selling things that no one's ever going to buy after a certain time? Or, for me, I can speak for myself. I love, as you can look around this bedroom, I have physical media. We have video games, videotapes, CDs, DVDs. You know, most people have all the stuff they like digitized somehow.
Well, right next to the TV that's on top of the dresser, I'm looking at a stack of VHS tapes.
And
like,
what's on top of that VHS, the stack? A Roku box.
A Roku box.
I mean, we're all over the place with our technology. But I still prefer the physical media. I love it. I just need...
Well, it's something tangible. I mean, yeah, you could try to download everything, but what if your computer crashes or your hard drive dies and you lose it?
But there's the brilliance of it. That's exactly
You'll
what...
You'll always have that old tape sitting on the shelf.
But they're banking on that, because if you lose that and if you haven't backed it up, what you're going to have to do, you're going to have to either go steal it or buy it again. They're hoping that you buy it all over again. But with this, the tape has to break. The DVD has to get so scratched on, blah blah blah, et cetera, et cetera. And this stuff is it lasted all these years. We have VHS down there that are probably 30 years old.
They're probably older than me.
You know what I mean? At least they're from some are from the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there you go. So what's that say about about some of this media?
And it's nice to go to some shelves or piles it on top of your dresser and go, look, there's my movie collection.
Right. So, but the question again is whether because we even want to do some VHS editions of our show.
Right. We were thinking of doing a Mummy and the Monkey dump VHS that has like blooper reels and fun behind the scenes stuff.
Or just stuff that would be, that we can't maybe distribute, let's say. Let's just kind of keep, like there's
maybe
a couple
summer
of,
special we could do a VHS.
We should do that. But there's some grim, gory episodes I taped on my and put it together myself before I met you. I was talking about like in the early 2000s, late 90s or 2000s that I have, but I use movies that aren't public domain. So, I mean, if we just make them conventions, we could throw them onto, I could put them on a DVD, but.
But now that you have this out there, then people could look for it that's not public domain.
But it's not
I'm
like,
going to tell on you.
But well, then whatever. You waste all your money. No one's going to, it's not like Star Wars, nothing like
that.
Right. They're just like really bad monster movies that aren't public domain.
Stuff
that
people don't care about.
Yeah, they don't. Nobody would really care. No one would come sue me for this stuff. But the point being, getting back on point, is that, you could throw all this stuff on a six-hour VHS tape and have this nice, fat, offering of stuff to watch where you wouldn't be able to put, I think you could put up to 4 hours. You could put up to 6 hours on some DVDs, but I think that the quality diminishes the longer the...
Coming soon to VHS, The Mummy and the Monkey is a nice fat offering.
Yeah, big fat offering.
Wow.
It's almost as funny as our big fat a-hauls that we do.
Oh, and yes, our a-hauls.
We do haul videos.
The A stands for
awesome. That's how we get around that one, yeah.
We haven't done a haul video in a long time.
But we did to end the next episode.
Yes, to end season two, at the very, very end, we have a mini a-haul.
Whoa, a little tiny A-hole.
You can look at our little tiny A-hole.
We keep it real
the
tight.
The A stands for awesome.
It's a very tight segment, that A-hole. The A standing for awesome, of course.
Of course.
Please.
What did you think about it?
Mine's out of the gutter, thank you. So we're still with the bad. Isn't a bad meaning, you know, the future of our show and how we distribute it or how people are going to see it. We upload as many episodes as we can on YouTube. But we're trying to figure out...
Maybe not upload everything.
Right.
And have it where...
you have to come by some of the episodes.
I'm thinking for season three, we could put some... And let's see what the fans say. You know, we're interested in feedback on this from you guys listening as well.
Yeah.
Should we just put up, like, little video clips to promote season three in hopes people would buy the DVD? Or pay a small fee to have access to stream it?
Well, that's getting a little ahead of the game.
Like a pay-per-view type of thing?
I don't want to turn people off of the show already.
And we don't want to turn... Yeah, exactly. I mean, we want to keep... of course, the podcast, we're going to keep free.
Here's how I feel about it. I feel about the way the music industry is doing things now. A band will record an album. They'll put it out. They know it's going to get copied. So they go, hey, go ahead and copy it. But to make money, you know, to sustain... Okay, let's not sound like... To sustain the band going. Right. Or, you know, what they have to get, you have to pay for the concert ticket. You have to pay for the, you know, the merchandise. So if we have a lot of merchandise and our show is our vehicle to get the word out there, hopefully people will come and want to, you know, make the mummy and the monkey want to keep on putting more stuff out so we can use that money to keep the show going. That's what it would be.
Yeah, because pretty much like, it was our very first Monster Bash. We were vendors there. And we broke even, you know, it covered travel expenses, it covered all that, and it was good.
Yeah.
So the
bash was perfect for that.
But so it was a good start, and we work other jobs too.
Yeah, but we have a different plan though too.
Pay for itself and to be self-sustaining.
Yeah, we'd like to make a living entertaining people.
And I know horror hosts don't really make money, but as entertainers and as resellers.
Right.
I'm thinking we can, you know, combine it all.
Yeah, we can be a little hodgepodge of both. So we're working on that model, trying to figure out what the best way to do, how to work this angle of being the mummy, the monkey, and being horror hosts. But that's my question. My question is, do we have to be, is horror hosting just our background, and we could have a sitcom we come up with where we are horror hosts, but in the sitcom? You know what I mean? There's a way to think about that way, too. But that's neither here nor there. Let's. Yeah, we're still talking about the bad of the convention. And
well, there was...
very little bad.
Very little bad, very little ugly. Just a few little things.
Ugly's coming up.
So we'll lead into the ugly. This one guy...
Wait. You're going to start talking about what? Whisper. Oh, my Lord. You know what? Okay, fine. That's good. You can talk about that.
And then the other part last.
Okay. Yeah, this is something. Okay.
So I'm not saying names because I don't like to. And I'm not going to dwell on this because I don't like to glorify any negativity either.
And folks, let me just say, I'll interject all the time. We're married. Janet and I are our husband and wife. And when we're in costume, I guess we could be anybody that nobody would even know that, even when we're not in costume. But, you know, you don't know if these people are together or not. But we are, and I know this, so I'm standing there, and when she's going to tell you all this stuff, I have to sit here and listen to this. But go ahead.
So,
and I'm just smiling in my
mouth. We're there talking with people, having fun. And this guy who was another vendor, I suppose... And he said he was a photographer.
Oh, boy. I
have some pinup photos of us on the table that many people have bought and like and we've signed for, and it's a lot of fun. Do we claim to be professionals? No.
Wait, okay. Are you going to talk about that the tall guy or the short
guy? That
guy.
That guy.
Oh, my God.
That guy.
A whole different story, but go ahead, yeah.
Right. So he's looking at my pictures saying that, oh, you're a beautiful girl, but your pictures look terrible. The lighting's terrible. This is bad. That's bad. And I was like taken aback. I didn't know what to say at first. I'm like, really? But I was trying to kind of keep my cool and not go crazy and you know,
mm-hmm.
beat this guy up or something or say something that I'm going to regret. But I pretty much told him to leave the table and that...
Hey.
That's very impolite and rude. I flat out told him that. And if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Because we don't claim to be professionals. And at the same time...
You pull a thumper on them.
And at the same time, people like the pictures. All right. It's supposed to be kind of cheesy and fun.
I can comment
on
this.
It's not supposed to be some fantastic art thing.
All right. I can comment on this. Right. Because I was standing right there. And although I heard what you said, and even though you didn't, you thought you were a little mad at or upset with me because you thought that.
Well, you kept talking to the guy instead of just shutting him down.
I didn't want anything.
Well, that's what you do. Sometimes you drag things out way too long.
Who?
Or you're talking to
me.
Like, we needed to just end that conversation with that individual.
I know.
He was still flapping his gums and he wouldn't leave. So I walked away. After a while, because I could not stand him, and I had to hold myself back from saying the wrong thing or doing the wrong thing.
Oh, it's getting real as a mofo right here on Living the Scream, guys. Let me tell you. Woo, back off. The mummy's on fire.
Seriously, in real life, I have a... If people act dumb, I have a very bad temper.
Yep, I do too.
So, and there's a time and place for everything, and when we're talking with the public, you don't want other people that are good people to see you act, you know... So I had to hold myself back from saying something to this guy.
I felt bad. But
Bone Jangler was there too, seeing all this.
He didn't jangle anything at him, though.
No. We were all trying to be cool and be the better person.
Yeah.
But you should have just stopped talking to him and ignored him.
But he was commenting on the photography, which he's kind of right in a way because I took the photograph and I'm not a photographer. I don't know anything about lighting or anything
but
like
anyone
that.
Anyone could take a good photo that isn't a photographer.
That's true.
And
he told me
who's to judge what's good and what's not. And if you don't like then just don't say anything.
It's called your opinion.
I didn't like his stuff, but I didn't tell him his picture sucked. I didn't say that to him, but then he has the nerve to come up to us and talk like that.
Well, he just wanted that was his weird nerdy way of trying to say that he wanted to take pictures of you.
Yeah, but it was very, very rude.
Well, he's a nerd.
He could have just said, hey, let's set up a photo shoot. Something like that. Yeah. Instead of your pictures suck.
These aren't any good.
That was really rude.
He's such a critic. Well, some things, I mean, you know me, at some, I let most stuff roll off my back.
Other guys bought the pictures and loved them.
Sure. Plenty do.
I signed them.
And
it was great.
And I did tell him, I said, you could think what you want, dude, but we sell these things and people like them. That's it. And they're supposed to be sort of schlocky and not professional. That's what we're going for.
Well, I always think of like the old Betty Page pinup pictures. Ooh, geez, Grim.
Excuse me. Ooh.
Many of her pinup pictures were taken by camera club guys, and it was literally a guy with a camera that loved to take pictures of women.
I thought it was a guy with a camera in one hand and a club in the other. Never seen again.
Some of hers look very professional, and some are just a cute pinup picture in your living room. And there's nothing wrong with either one.
Right. Right. Uh-huh.
So it's like... Who's to judge and to be that negative and to say that to someone?
Well, everyone's entitled to their opinion.
But he did eventually leave the table, and I went back, and everything was cool after that. Yeah. So
he didn't feel you shook him. You shook him.
I hope so. I hope I called him out on it, and hopefully he doesn't talk to other girls in that manner because no one should be talked to like that.
That might be. Maybe it worked on some other girls you took pictures of. You never know.
Well, maybe in my younger days that would have worked, but not today.
Whoa, nope. Not this sassy mummy.
Nope.
Mm-mm, girl.
Not?
This dude was talking some smack. Come to my table talking about these pictures ugly. You know what's ugly? Your mama.
I wanted to say that.
Get out of my face before I have to give you up.
Okay, and so then this...
There was that guy?
This leads into the ugly.
No, well, that is part of the ugly. And then the other ugly...
Oh, there's more. Another bad, I guess. One more.
Well, that one guy. No, this is the ugly.
Oh.
Yeah? Okay, however you want to put it.
Well, there was the angry moms.
Well, that's the... Okay, that's ugly. So one more bad.
That's the ugly.
I could take pictures of you. Are you in Gorgeous Girls? Because you should be in Gorgeous Girls.
What was that guy's deal?
You know, I'm not... Like I said, I didn't want to bring that one up. He works with the photography group.
Well, you don't have to get
you
all
already
specific.
Said the name, but he was just a little odd or something.
It's not that part of it, but I've never seen a guy try so hard to try to. I mean, he kept coming. He was all sweating profusely. It was, and it was cold in there. Where was that coming?
Yeah, he nervous. Kept coming up to the table talking to me, and I nicely
like
said,
when I first met you,
I'm
all sweaty and...
You know, I work for this.
And I just simply said, oh, that's great. You know, shoot us an email sometime. Because it was like he kept talking on. And I think other customers and fans and people walking by were like getting uncomfortable by him too.
Fooey.
Just acting a little strange.
You know, I feel bad too because...
So I was trying to be nice and just, you know, like...
Well, you know what? We'll end it with that. But we'll end the bad with the bad. I feel bad because we didn't mention our boys in Midnight Movie.
Oh my gosh.
Dr. Midnight
was there from the Midnight Movie.
Our buddy Denny.
Denny
he
and
plays
Rich.
Dr. Midnight, yeah.
And the gang.
Rich Arbor and Triv was there. And Myron.
Myron, their photographer.
And Don O'Malley. Yeah, man.
So
it
thank
was like,
you, Midnight Movie guys. They were part of the goodness of the Monster Bash.
Next time we need to make a little list.
You could check out the midnightmovie.net. They're Cleveland people too that are friends.
They're awesome people and they got a great show. You need to watch that if you haven't checked it out.
And we've been on their show. They've been on our show. Yeah. It's fun to cross promote.
The midnightmovie.net. Check it out.
I already said that.
I know, but you know, they deserve, you know, we owe them another plug because we just were rambling and we need to make, next time we're going to make a list.
And check it twice. I'm going
to have, like Sandy Claus. And I'm probably going to have to make a list or remind me to make a list. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Right. Anyway, so now to the ugly.
Oh, we did the good, the bad. We're going into the ugly.
And we need to talk about that chair, too.
Well, we'll do that a little bit. Yeah.
Okay. So.
Okay. So the ugly part of it, and out of all of the people there, there were only like two people that reacted in this sort of manner. We try to keep the show for most ages when we have the Mummy and the Monkey show. And when we go out as the Mummy and the Monkey, we try to keep it where, you know, kids can talk to us, kids can watch the show, and it's not that big of a deal. But
what, the show's not that
but
big
Grim
of a deal?
Was talking to, well, no, Grim was talking to a family saying, you know, hey, check us out. We play old monster movies. We try to keep it for all ages.
Boy.
We're family friendly.
Oh, boy.
Well, this mom was like, huh. Family friendly. And
because
she saw...
Because at the base of the table, next to the DVDs, our show DVDs that are family friendly, there's a picture that we just posted recently. I took it, and it was terrible and horrible. And I don't know if that guy saw that one. I kept saying, did you see this picture?
Nothing was showing.
No, it's a very tasteful, artful picture of Janet sitting on her old antique couch on her set. With holding two rotten skulls in front of her
upper anatomy.
Yeah, so her upper anatomy. With no sort of, you know, it was basically a topless pic without being a topless pic.
It was almost, I mean...
It's like if you're wearing a bikini, but you're holding the skulls.
Right.
It's silly. It's
no worse than someone walking around in a bikini. It's not showing anything. It just shows a lot of leg. That's all.
Yeah, lots of leg because she's got lots of legs.
Yeah, it just shows lots of leg.
Oh, yeah. But let me tell you that, Jenny T. She's got a lot of
leg. And that
legs.
Was the most popular picture at the convention that sold.
Oh, Bob Hope's here. Yeah, let me tell you that, Janet T. She's got some nice games on her.
And it was just one of those things where... I'm like, hey, let's take a few fun little pinup photos. We need something new for promotion.
And you even colorize it so it's like in purple hues.
Yeah, I tried to make it, the colors a little off so it's got a softer feel to it.
It's got an overall purple hue saturation to
like
it.
Like black and white with a little bit of purple.
Yeah, a colorized photo, like all purple. Anyway, yeah, so a couple of moms shielded their child's eyes and promptly turned them around and said, you know, and walked away.
Which... kind of bothers me because, like, yeah, okay, it's a pinup photo, but it's not showing anything. If you take your child to the beach or the park or the pool, there's going to be people in short shorts and swimsuits. Are you going to shield that from them? I mean, if I had a kid, I wouldn't care if they saw that, but that's just me. You know, everyone parents differently or thinks differently. I just... And then it makes me wonder if some women or mothers have some type of inner, like, body image issues, where if you see someone that's showing skin, that's bad, that's negative, because you're showing leg. Oh my. You know, where suddenly you think, you know, suddenly you're acting Amish or something. And I don't know what you think on this, James, or what the listeners think of out there.
I am letting you go on, girl. I'm letting you go on.
This is my little rant, because if I see someone, and we go people watching all the time when we go out in public.
Yeah, yeah.
if someone's showing leg, male or female, we'll comment like, oh, hey, nice gams. We'll make funny little jokes. And I don't see anything offensive with someone wearing a swimsuit or lingerie. Or
Elvira with her, you know.
And Elvira would walk around with her boobies hanging out. I love Elvira.
All Elvira McGee on everybody.
I loved Elvira as a kid. Morticia.
You liked her when she was a little kid, too?
No, when I was a kid.
I know her show goes back that far.
Wow.
Hi, I'm Elvira.
But I remember seeing pictures as a kid or women on TV in bikinis, and I didn't think it was a big deal at all. I just thought, oh, wow, cool, they're in a bikini.
I just felt tingly.
But when
you're kind of sick, like, oh, why am I feeling like this?
Uh-oh. Oh, jeez. But to me, it's like you can't show, like.
You might need a drink of alcohol.
Maybe.
Alcohol.
Leave me alone. I'm at a loss for words, I suppose. I just don't think it's that big of a deal. And if you're sheltering everything from kids, they're going to be repressed later on.
Oh, boy. And that's getting heavy. It's like turning into Dr. Phil or Sally Jesse Raphael.
Sorry.
You make that child sees your legs,
it's just my
on the table. Okay?
I'm no medical professional or psychological professional.
Were you not holding skulls in front of your tatas? Were you? Now, see, if a kid sees that, they walk by. They're in the monster bash. They're walking by your table, and you got leggy Booby McGee sitting there with skulls in front of her.
Oh, come on. Penny Dreadful was showing more skin. She's got giant tatas.
Well, now that's not here nor there. Now, see, you're putting the bread before the bread.
So the skulls in front of my chest, you're really not seeing anything.
You can't throw the baby
out. There's less cleavage.
You can't throw the baby out with the bathwater is what I'm trying to say.
Okay, doctor.
That makes no sense, but I'm going to say it. You can't pick a chihuahua before a peach pit. Now, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway.
So end of rant, I guess.
Yeah, really. Oof. So the Ranty Decay.
I just thought it
Janet Rant K.
Okay, stop. I just thought it to be very silly and like really unnecessary. Wow. And I even, right. Like the one family, I'm like, really, it's no worse than a bathing suit.
So we're gonna get rid of all the sexy pictures of Janet Decay, as we're trying to say. Put in sexy pictures of Grim Gory.
Oh, there you go. Wolf Grim Gory in a bikini.
Ooh, ha, 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 ha. Oof. You don't want to see that.
A banana Speedo.
Oh, my Lord. A banana hammock. They call that. All right. Well, there you go. There's the good, the bad, and the ugly.
So we went over the good, the bad, and the ugly of Monster Bash.
Whoa. That's for you. Ain't that sweet?
Wow.
Wow. Not even drunk. Not even drinking one drop of Boost. Woo, that was a good one. Anyway.
Yikes.
So let's wrap things up. We got a few more minutes here. Let's talk about our newest acquisition.
Yes.
From our friend.
So after work today, we went out all the way out to Burton, Ohio.
Burton, Ohio. Baby.
A Facebook friend of mine. I won't say his last name for privacy.
But they could put together that. With
his first name is Logan. Okay. And he gave us an antique wheelchair, probably from the early 1900s.
He has an interesting job.
Yes.
Where he cleans up. Let's put it this way. I mean, it does get a little hazmat-y, but not in a more of a biohazard type of thing. They clean up biohazard stuff, post fires, anything like floods,
post mortem,
yeah, damage, any kind of like disaster type of cleanup. But they do different kind of cleanups. Well, there was a fire at some home, and a lot of the home burned up down to the basement. But when they went to the basement, there was this old chair, like on the cover of that movie, The Changeling, if people out there remember what that looks like. But it's one of those old sort of wickerback wheelchairs with the wooden leg things you can adjust, and, you know, a weird old chair. But that was in the basement, untouched. Everything around it was burned except for that. So he believes it may be haunted. And we don't know how old this thing is.
That is really weird that was the only thing that wasn't burned up.
Yeah. So now
we're damaged.
So what do we got? We got a haunted doll in the garage right now and a haunted wheelchair. Great.
So I guess they go together, right?
But if I open that door, that garage door, and that damn doll is sitting in that damn chair, I don't know. I'm going to have to. I don't know what I'm going to do. Yeah, oh my God. And that noise is coming out. Forget it. I'm beating feet, baby, down the street.
So I want to know, and it's got some weird engraving on the back of it.
Yeah.
It says 4W on the back of this antique wheelchair. Yeah.
So I'm going to post, I took some pics. I'm going to post those pics. You can check out the haunted wheelchair on our Facebook page. And also, I'm going to post a picture, I think, of our newest acquisition, our art acquisition, I Was a Teenage Frankenstein painting by James Gettner. I'm going to show people what that looks like because it's pretty cool. Pretty proud of that, my
lord. And I'm probably going to use the wheelchair for a window display for the Mummy and the Monkeys Thrift Crypt on Madison Avenue in Lakewood.
That's right. 13349.
Madison Avenue.
In Lakewood, Ohio. Yeah, come check us out. Look up if you... You want to know more about the Mummy and the Monkey? You check out
themummyandthemonkey.com.
Baby. That's right. Or look us up on Facebook, The Mummy and the Monkey.
Or just Google The Mummy and the Monkey.
Or just write us at themummyandthemonkey@gmail.com.
Or our P.O. Box.
We'll give that out too. You know that one? 3-3-3-5-5-5?
35534, Cleveland, Ohio.
Yeah, P.O. Box 35534. Cleveland, Ohio, 44135. You can address that to Janet Decay, Grim Gory, or the Mummy and the Monkey. Doesn't
Garfield
matter.
Garfield 1-2-3-2-3. Garfield 1-2-3-2-3. Boop. You only know that if you grew up in Cleveland.
And drank alcohol. So, I think we're getting close to the end of the show here. Anything else you want to say? Next week, Dino Ewelt will be on here.
Yes.
The one, the only, the man, the myth, the legend, Dino Ewelt will be here. Will be talking to us one way or the other. I can't think of a topic for next show offhand. We'll just figure something out. Throw some stuff out there. But again, we want to thank everyone that hung out with us at Monster Bash this year, 20th anniversary. We had a lovely time. Thanks, Ron, the guy that puts the show together, for welcoming us, officially welcoming us, the Mummy and the Monkey,
woo,
to the Monster Bash family.
Yay!
I mean, we are psyched, man. We are so into it. And we had a beautiful time, man.
We
beautiful
have time. To go back next year. It was a lot of fun.
It's going to be a whole different scene next year when we return, baby. Let me tell you.
It's going to be great.
Oh, I got plans. I got plans. Like,
we're
going to
crash the bash.
Oh, darn tootin' good looking. That's right. So, I think that's it. That's all I got right now for this episode. What about you?
Thanks so much.
All right. See you later, alligators. And we'll see you next time. Well, you'll hear us next time on
Living the Scream.
Ow, not again.
My that ears. Was a wussy scream. And you
want oh, my God. Yeah, but it blew my speakers off. I think. Oh, my God.
Loving you. But I'm a man filled with pride. I've been hurt. And it's easier to say than do.